Welcome to The Ralph Report with Ralph Garman.
Hey there, boys and girls. Welcome to The Ralph Report, my favorite Ralph Report of the week. It's Friday. This is very exciting. Not only is it Friday, but it is live The Ralph Report Eve-ish.
That's right.
More or less. It's the day, but still, tonight will be the Eve. Tomorrow is our very first and very possibly last live The Ralph Report done in front of a live audience. Sold out crowd at the Improv on Melrose tomorrow night. Should be interesting. The first time everybody will be all in the room at the same time. Me, our vice host, Mr. Eddie Pence. Steve Ashton, of course, from across the pond in the UK. My wife, Carrie, will all be on stage doing Lord knows what. It's going to be a fascinating experiment. And you know what happens sometimes with experiments? Sometimes they blow the lab up.
Blow up and you get flubber.
So we'll wait and see. But today is Friday. We do have a full show for you today. Not only do you have myself, your old podcast pal, Ralph Garman, across the Batcave floor from me, Mr. Eddie Pence.
Hey, buddy.
But we do have Steve Ashton checking in from the UK. We've also got my buddy Jay Busby, Buzz as I call him, from Yahoo Sports. We'll be talking about this weekend's big NFL games, at least a couple of them anyway. Also, we'll be talking about all the entertainment news, the holidays and holidays. But first, I want to get to some emails. Love reading your emails. You can always reach out to me at ralph@theralphreport.com. We also get your voicemails that you can leave for us at the Ralph Report hotline, which is 1-833-HI-RALPH. That's the Ralph Report hotline right there. We'll talk about all that. But first and foremost, I want to give away our last pair of tickets to tomorrow night's show.
Ooh, exciting.
At the Improv. This is, I asked all week long for you folks to send in anything creative. Didn't have to be great. Just give it a shot. Take a chance. Write a little something. Maybe sing a little something. Do a video. Do a cartoon. Do a comic strip. Anything your little heart desired, but something creative connected to the Ralph Report. And you guys really responded. I wish I could have given tickets to everybody who sent in their very cool stuff, because you guys are very talented.
Yeah, some great stuff came in.
Just picked one each day, and now, today is the last day. These two tickets will be going to Adolfo Hernandez. Adolfo Hernandez was kind enough to send in a cartoon that he drew, and it's based on that very funny meme where Batman is slapping Robin across the face.
Well, guess who's who?
And no, oh, stop with your persecution complex. It's not you at all. It is me in the Batman role, but I am slapping Ziggy. I'm yelling at him, "You're not funny," as I slap Ziggy across
the
face.
That's amazing.
Ziggy's terrible.
And Adolfo says, "I haven't drawn in years, but I wanted to find the best way to show you how much you hate Ziggy. Hopefully this gets me the tickets, LMB, Adolfo Hernandez." Well, Adolfo, it does indeed get you tickets.
Great. You haven't drawn in years? That's amazing.
Yeah, it's great that he was able just to knock that out. I'll be posting this on the Patreon page as well. You guys can all take a look at it. But Adolfo, you will have two tickets waiting for you at the Improv tomorrow night. We'll be happy to have you there. And thanks so much for sending that in. That was a great contest. We're going to do something again like that sometime soon, because so many talented people listen to the show when you send in your cool stuff. So appreciate that. Speaking of the Improv, tonight, if you're in Southern California this evening, we'd love to have you come by to see Hollywood Babylon with me and Kevin Smith taking the stage. It is the late show tonight at the Improv. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets, or you can go to csmod.com also to get more information and tickets for tonight's Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose. I'm doing a twofer. I'm doing back-to-backs tonight and tomorrow night.
You're
at the
owning
Improv.
The Improv.
I'm like a goddamn stand-up comedian, all these clubs I'm working at. Anyway, yeah, come on out. If you got the time, we'd love to see you. All right, more emails. You know, America is just on pins and needles, Eddie. They are breathlessly waiting to see if you can go the entire week, if your streak can continue, if you can be right 5 days in a row. And a lot of people are sending in their congratulations via email. This is from Chris Butler. Chris, a great friend of the show, sending in congratulations to Eddie Pence. Nice work, it says. Glory of Love by Peter Cetera was indeed the love theme from Karate Kid 2. Eddie,
Peter of the
Eddie!
Who,
was right.
Yay.
Eddie was right. Peter Cetera did sing The Glory of Love in Karate Kid 2. This came from Zach Byerly. We know Zach. He's big supporter of the show.
So has Babylon, too.
That's right. The streak continues is the title of his email. Yes, Eddie, the YMC Village People scene is, in fact, from Wayne's World 2. Well done.
Crushing it.
Eddie is crushing it this week.
Crushing
the streak of being right continues. And then we got to yesterday's birthdays. Yesterday's birthdays, we were talking about an actress named Jacqueline Bisset. Or
Bisset.
Some people say Bisset. Some people are sure, in fact, that her name is Bisset. Some people are absolutely positive that her name is Bisset. Actress Jacqueline Bisset, or Bisset.
Bisset.
Is 74 years old. Are you sure it's Bisset?
Yes.
Are you positive it's Bisset?
Bisset.
You're absolutely positive.
No, I'm not positive of anything anymore.
I thought it was. I always thought it's people not? Said Bisset, but it really was pronounced Bisset, like it? Kiss it. I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow. Well, it's tomorrow.
It's today.
So let's go to the game tape. Let's hear the actress herself introducing herself, and we'll hear how she presents her name.
Hello, I'm Jacqueline Bisset.
But she's got an accent.
Jacqueline Bisset. It's her name.
I think her name
coming out of her mouth is the definitive pronunciation.
I think it's what people call you.
No, I think it's what your name is.
It is.
What if we call you Eddie?
Eddie.
Penis.
Eddie Penis.
Eddie Penis.
Oh, pence. Penis. Eddie Penis.
I'm just saying.
All right.
Eddie! Fine.
Is wrong.
That's fine. Right. I blew it on the last day.
So close.
I blew it.
But next week, it's a brand new week. We start anew. And
I'm going to bone up.
We'll see. I bet you will.
I will bone up.
And we'll see. We'll see if Eddie's able to conquer. But, oh, so close.
I was wrong. I did catch myself being wrong yesterday on one thing. It's Slayer that's on a farewell tour.
Oh, I didn't even get that one.
Not Megadeth.
I did not get an email about that.
I self-checked myself.
Wow.
Slayer's
on a farewell tour.
Not Megadeth.
Wow, so
is wrong.
See, I wasn't going to give myself the week.
Twice
I was going to call
yesterday.
Myself out anyway.
Wow, you gave yourself up.
I did.
That's kind of bold.
I'm an honest man.
You sacrificed yourself for the good of the community.
An honest man.
Before we get on with the holidays and holidays, we did have one more phone call I also want to get to. This came in from a listener, and I thought it was an interesting question because we do focus on Eddie a lot, especially about his unique appetites or lack thereof.
I wouldn't call it unique.
When it comes to his
absurd
choices of foods that he will or won't eat. And so this gentleman called in. I thought this was interesting.
Mr. Ralph Garman, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, we always give Eddie crap about what he doesn't like, what he doesn't eat, or doesn't care for.
Yes.
So I'm just curious, do you have anything off the top of your head that you don't like, food-wise? So maybe we can give you some crap.
That's an interesting question.
There we go.
There are several foods I'm not a fan of, but I don't have Eddie's level of revulsion when it comes to certain foods. You've all seen by now the video of him just taking a bite into a simple, harmless peach.
How harmless.
He almost retched in the room just by biting into a piece of fruit.
It's like biting a tumor.
I don't have that reaction, really, to any foods.
There's nothing? Nothing?
Nothing
turns your
visceral
stomach?
Visceral sort of... No.
Nothing turns your stomach?
Nothing that's edible. Nothing that's food.
Really?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not a fan of, like, poop and puke and that kind of stuff.
Right.
But there's no foods that create that reaction for me.
I always thought everybody has something that just like absolutely turns their
stomach. I'll tell you, I am not a fan of artichoke. I don't like the taste of artichoke, and I don't like the hard work of having to scrape
the
meat off those leaves to get a tiny little
piece of
vegetable.
It's ridiculous.
It seems like a pointless
food
to me.
It's like eating blue crab. It takes forever to get a little bit of crab.
I do like blue crab.
It's good, but it's not worth the effort.
It's hard work. I'm not a fan of Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, I don't
just
like
the taste
sprouts.
Of those, I'm not a fan of. But like there's nothing. I mean, I could eat both of those things without.
Nothing would make you go.
No, I don't have any. I don't really have that.
I thought everybody
not that
had
I can
something.
Think of. There's plenty of things I'm not a fan of. I'm not a fan of beets per se, but I've eaten them.
It wouldn't turn your stomach. Just
no.
Not a little dry heave.
You know, my wife asked me about the other day. I was having a hard boiled egg for breakfast. I was just biting into a hard boiled egg.
Yeah.
She goes, "How does Eddie feel about hard boiled eggs?
I like hard boiled eggs."
But that's like biting into, you think eating a peach is like biting into a tumor. Eating a hard-boiled egg is like biting into an eyeball.
There's nothing running out. It's not a, it's
but
a fully.
But inside, there's like a brain inside there.
No,
there's a literal embryo inside there when you're eating.
No, that's almost like putty or clay. It feels like, the yolk feels like clay.
Clay,
right?
Elite.
I eat dirt and mud.
All right. But that's just a pit. You don't even eat the pit inside of a peach. How can that kid doesn't hurt you? You don't even eat it.
It just looks like you bite into something like, oh, that's the brain of what I just ate. It's just gross.
But a hard-boiled egg is a literal embryo. You're actually biting into an actual embryo, and that doesn't bother
you. If you make me think about it, I'm not going to eat it anymore.
All right, sorry.
You've taken one off the plate now.
Didn't mean to make you think.
That's one less food I'm going to eat now.
I apologize. It is Friday, September 14th. It's time for us to take a giant look up there at the calendar on the wall. Every day of the year, there's a bunch of holidays connected to it. Not all of them are legitimate. That's why we play the game Holiday or Holiday.
Holiday or Holiday, please tell me what we celebrate. Ralph Garman.
All right, I will tell you today, Friday, September 14th, is Hug Your Boss Day. I wonder if they're celebrating that over at CBS, over at the network. I wonder if there's a lot of hugging going on between the executives and the people underneath them. Look, in the Me Too generation, I think Hug Your Boss Day has to go the way of the dodo bird.
How about High Five Your Boss
Day? Maybe just fist bump.
Yeah, fist bump your boss day.
Maybe send a polite email. Maybe that's as much contact as you should have physically with your boss now at any job.
Just cut out all physical interaction in the
workplace. I think this day was invented some years ago before people started taking advantage.
Yeah.
They've always taken advantage. Now we're just finding out about them. So I'm just saying, let's not encourage any more physical contact between employee.
Especially hugging.
And employers. Just bad things can happen.
Fist bumps.
This is good for you, Eddie. This is for you.
Oh. Eddie!
It's National Virginia Day.
Yeah.
National home Virginia, state. Home state of Vice Host Eddie
the
Pence.
Commonwealth.
National Virginia Day.
More presidents were born in Virginia than in, like, where most presidents come from.
That's where most presidents
Most presidents were, like, the of all the presidents we've had in the United States, a majority of them were born in Virginia.
Well, they probably got a head start because it was one of the first original 10 colonies,
I think.
Yeah,
that's true, too.
Right?
That is also true.
Original 13? I think it was 13, early on. Was, 13 I think, colonies. But I think it was in the first 10 before we even got to 13, I think.
But this,
So they probably got a head start on presidents because there weren't that many states to pull from.
Yeah.
So,
it's a great state. It's a beautiful state.
National Virginia Day. Virginia is for lovers.
It is.
As they say. Look at Eddie Pence. Look
at him. The lover of everything.
He's a lover, man.
Except food.
Except peaches.
Peaches and
eggs. It's also National Live Creative Day. And I think that's great advice. Live Creative Day is supposed to be the day meant to take the time to invent, discover, and to dream, to infuse creativity in your lives through any means that you can find. Painting, graphic arts, music, even gardening, drawing. Find some way to express yourself in a creative way. Makes life worth living.
Put something beautiful in the world.
Look, I know not everyone has an innate talent, perhaps, for artistic things. It doesn't mean you can't do it just because you may not shine at it. You don't even need to have an audience. You don't even need to show it to anybody. But get a piece of clay, mold something, paint something, draw something.
You don't have to be artistic, be creative. I mean, just the way you pick out your clothes in the morning is a creative choice.
True.
So just do something creative.
I agree. So it really makes your life worth living. Just enhance it with something creativity-wise. It just makes your brain work better, and it makes you a happier person. And trust me on this one. Just do that. It's also National Cream-Filled Donut Day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Nobody complains about that. Right?
Boston cream-filled donut?
Yeah.
Mm. Eclair?
Any of that stuff is good. Now, I wasn't sure about this next one. Another food-related holiday.
Yeah.
As you know, it's always a 50-50 with Eddie Pence. How about Gobstoppers? Do you like Gobstoppers as a candy?
Yeah.
Gobstopper, for those who don't know, it's the giant, hard, just ball of sugar that you put in your mouth, and it takes a long time to suck them down and make them dissolve, and that's why they're called Gobstoppers. Gob being a slang word from the UK for your mouth. And the stoppers means you shut up while you're
in it.
You shut up while you're eating it.
You have the never ending gobstopper.
The everlasting.
Everlasting gobstopper.
Not the never ending, the everlasting.
It's a never ending story.
It's very different, Eddie Pence.
It's the same thing.
Did you say everlasting gobstopper?
That's right. For children with very little pocket money, you can suck them forever.
I want an everlasting gobstopper.
Me too.
And me.
Yes, me too. Except for Eddie. He wants the never ending. Gobstopper.
Same thing.
And today also, and I don't think I have a problem with this one, but who knows, I certainly don't. It is National Eat a Hoagie Day.
I like hoagies.
Hoagies.
Hoagies, yeah, man.
Do you guys have Wawas down in Virginia?
When I was a kid, no, but they are creeping their way south.
The Wawa, for those of you along the eastern seaboard, you certainly know what I'm talking about.
It was mostly
about.
Northeast for a long time.
Jersey, Pennsylvania. I don't know. New York, I don't know if they got them.
They're there now. They're down in Virginia now.
Are they?
They've gone down.
Anyway, Wawa's hoagies. For a chain, you'd be amazed how good their hoagies are. When I go back to Philly, I used to go to the little mom and pop shops, and that's the best. But in a pinch, you hit a Wawa, you're going to get a good hoagie. I'll tell you that much.
You know who had a good hoagie when I was a kid? It's when Pizza Hut, you used to go dine in and eat at Pizza Hut.
Oh, yeah.
Man, you'd sit there. It was like almost like a little Italian restaurant. They had amazing hoagies.
Huh. I don't believe I've ever had a Pizza Hut hoagie.
But they don't do it anymore because now it's just like a sort of a pizza delivery service. But used to, like 25, 35 years ago, you'd sit in and eat at like a restaurant called Pizza Hut.
They also, by the way, are giving a tip of the cap to the grinder, the sub, the hero, and the po' boy. Not the same, by the way. None of those things are the same thing as a hoagie. I balk at including them. I don't want to be inclusive when it comes to Hoagie Day. Speaking of hoagie, you may be surprised or not to know that the hoagie was invented, by the way, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Was it?
It was
indeed. How many sandwiches were invented in Philadelphia?
Lots. Because, you know, here's the thing. Philadelphia, for a long time, was a big Navy shipyard, shipbuilding town.
Yeah.
From post-World War I, really, all the way up through. Not only that, but a lot of guys were working long hours far away from home because they had to go all the way down to the river in order to build these ships and stuff. So they would pack these bags with massive sandwiches and stuff to sort of sustain them through the day. And so that's where the
big sandwiches came from.
That's where the hoagie came from. They would take a loaf of Italian bread,
just cram it,
cut it in half, and then just load up a bunch of cheese and meats and lettuce and stuff on top of it. And that's what became the hoagie. Originally, they were made fun of when these guys would hit the shipyard and they would say you'd have to be a hog to eat that whole sandwich.
Hoagie.
And they would eat it all day long. And eventually it got morphed in from a hog to the hoagie to the hoagie, and that's where hoagie came from.
Interesting.
So now you know the history of the hoagie.
Did not know that.
Philadelphia's second favorite sandwich. You know, it's funny. The hoagie is the official sandwich of Philadelphia.
Not the cheesesteak.
Not the cheesesteak, but come on. Seriously, right? Right.
Right.
All right, let's take a look at all the entertainment news with a segment I call the Showbiz Beat. Jimmy Buffett's an idiot.
Why?
All right, next story.
Just moving on.
No, he is
a rich idiot.
He's a rich idiot, but he was seen yesterday, I guess it was, surfing down in South Carolina.
Oh, that's stupid.
Ahead of Hurricane Florence making landfall. Now, I'm not a surfer, and many of you out there may be, and so maybe you're saying that, like Jimmy Buffett, those are the best conditions.
I'm
they
sure
say
they are.
That hurricane swell, the pre-storm waves that come in, are remarkable for surfing, but it still seems dangerous as hell.
My parents are out of there until Monday.
They're
evacuated.
How much evacuation was going on?
They evacuated the entire South Carolina coastline.
Wow.
Was a mandatory evacuation.
Everybody lives along there.
My cousin stupidly stayed. So she's there now, I guess. I don't know. We haven't heard from her.
If it's mandatory, don't they knock on the door?
They knock on the door, but it's the point where like, all right, we're leaving now, and this is your last chance to leave. There's going to be no services for 72 hours. Everything's gone. You stay here. You could die. No one's going to know.
Is it North Carolina, too, or are they just expecting South Carolina to
Well, the
hit?
Thing, the way it turned, it went and sort of made like a left turn, so it's kind of just hitting Wilmington and North Carolina and then going sort of south inland.
Mm.
So it's not really going to affect Virginia that bad. And I think the northern part of North Carolina, it's not going to hit as bad. So
South Carolina's going to get the brunt of it.
Like the southern part of North Carolina and the northern part of South Carolina are going to get a lot of water because it's slowed down to a Category 2.
Well, for any of you folks in the Garmy who are in that area, please know that we're thinking of you.
Yeah.
And we wish you the best and hope you can get out without too much damage.
Well, my parents still have a house.
Yeah, really. Jimmy Buffett, however, posted pictures of himself on Instagram with his buddy and their two surfboards with the quote, "I ain't afraid of dying. I got no need to explain. I feel like going surfing in a hurricane."
I hate him.
So there you go. He's having a good time.
It's ruining people's lives.
Everyone else is worried to death. He also posted after that fact, "On a serious note, respect Mother Nature. Please be safe and listen to your local authorities."
Okay.
So
do exactly what I'm not doing.
Exactly. More music news. In New York this week, a lot of people were treated to an unusual sight in Manhattan yesterday. when in front of City Hall, there on a giant bed, was Yoko Ono, Ringo Starr, and the dude from The Big Lebowski, Jeff Bridges, all lying in bed together, having a bed-in, just like John and Yoko did back in 1969 to protest the Vietnam War. This, however, was a much more positive protest. It was in support of New York City public schools, and so it looked just like the bed with the same signs and everything that Yoko shared with her her husband, John. And now this time it was Ringo and Jeff Bridges, all of them side by side. Oh. The mayor was also there. Everybody was on hand. It was just a big publicity stunt for the big fifth annual Come Together New York City event, which is always marked with fundraisers for charities and for education. And the John Lennon educational tour bus goes around, which gives, we're just talking about being creative. It takes hands-on creative experiences to students of all ages and all economic groups. So you show up and it's audio, visual, digital media, and broadcast. And it takes it sometimes to poorer neighborhoods and let those kids get hand-on experience working with technology they wouldn't have otherwise.
That's good, because yeah, sometimes you're not, I don't have that available.
Exactly. Just the exposure to it sometimes can change a kid's life. So that's part of the program.
That's good stuff.
And so they were all out there to celebrate that. Ringo said to the press, "It's an incredible day for me to finally go to bed with Yoko," he said, which is creepy on
gross.
Any number of levels.
Gross.
Yeah, really. I know your bandmate is dead, but still, don't make jokes about banging his wife.
Yeah.
Especially when it's Yoko, right?
Yeah.
She's a good singer, though. Speaking of good singers, John Legend is in the news. Congratulations, he just got richer. He is joining season 16 of NBC's hit singing competition show, The Voice, as a coach. Legend, by the way, is now an EGOT. He's one of the rare EGOTs.
Youngest ever.
Yes.
And only African-American, right?
True that. He just got his EGOT, which, if you don't know, stands for the four major awards of the four major media. E is for Emmy. For television, G, Grammy for recording, O, Oscar, of course, for film, and T, Tony for Broadway. He's got all four of them now. Just won an Emmy for as a producer for the Jesus Christ Superstar Live in Concert TV show. So he will be there in the upcoming spring cycle of The Voice, joining returning coaches Kelly Clarkson, Adam Levine, and Blake Shelton. Host Carson Daly's returning as well. He'll be replacing Jennifer Hudson, who is leaving the show. I assume she's going to leave to make to star as Aretha Franklin in the biopic about Aretha Franklin's life. So that should be good. And when it comes to celebrities and social media, you think everybody would be on everything, right? It's the way you promote almost anything these days.
Especially in our business.
Yes. However, that's not necessarily so. Jennifer Lawrence, for example, is not on social media anywhere.
Anywhere.
But she said in an interview this week, I thought this was interesting, that she does not appear on social media, but she does lurk. She does go on and check social media and read it, but she never comments and has no presence on there.
Oh, so
that's kind of cheating, isn't it?
She has accounts, but she just uses them to snoop on other people.
I don't know if she even has accounts. She may just go to Twitter.com and just peruse the main feed.
Yeah.
Because I don't, as far as I know, she's not on there. She said, "I'm on it, but I'm a voyeur. I watch. I don't speak." Part of the reason she says she does not have accounts on social media is because she finds the internet to be too negative and its energy she doesn't want to welcome into her life. There is always so much backlash, she said, regarding things that happen on anytime that you appear on social media. So many people are listening and paying attention and they have so many opinions about absolutely everything. I really don't want to welcome that unless it's absolutely necessary.
Oh. I don't blame her.
I guess I don't either when I thought about it. I mean, I obviously, someone at my Z-level celebrity grade, I have to use it just to get information out to people, letting people know what I'm doing and where I'm going to be.
If you're an A-list celebrity, why be on there?
If you're a movie star, the promotion is done for you.
Why do it?
By Warner Brothers or whatever. You don't need to be
there. All you're doing is risking saying something stupid and get everything taken away.
All you're doing is giving people a window to say shit about
exactly.
you. Exactly. To say awful things that then you go and you read every day. Who wants to read that stuff?
Either way, I would not be. I mean,
so,
both are dumb.
Understandable. She is not on it. However, not everyone feels that way. For example, Billy Eichner. You know Billy?
Yeah.
From Billy on the Street?
Billy on the Street.
Man, that's just one of the funniest things in the world to me.
He was great on Parks and Rec, too.
He's great on everything. Yeah. He just makes me laugh. He is returning this week with another season of Billy on the Street. He was on True TV, but that got canceled over there because he couldn't make the scheduling work. He started off on YouTube. Then he went to True TV. Now he's back on Strictly with YouTube with Funny or Die again, because this way he can control his own schedule and he can release the seasons whenever he gets a chance to make them. So he's got his new season ready, and it debuted this week. upcoming guests on upcoming episodes this season over there at Funny or Die are Tiffany Haddish. That should be good. Lin-Manuel Miranda from Hamilton, Kate McKinnon, and many more. We kicked off the first episode with Emma Stone. And he and Emma Stone are running along the streets of New York. And the only thing on Billy Eichner's mind is Emma Stone is not on Instagram. And he will not have it. So he's going around to the people in New York City trying to help, trying to get them to help him convince Emma Stone to get on Instagram. And he's just ambushing people and telling them, tell Emma Stone to get on Instagram. It is so very funny. Here is a clip of the new season of Billy on the Street.
Listen to me now. Imagine having the resources to make a boomerang and then choosing not to.
You don't have an Instagram?
This exactly.
Why not?
Exactly.
How do you keep in touch with the latest things?
Exactly. How do you keep in touch with all the latest things?
No.
She's out of it. She's lost.
Why? Come on.
Tell her why she should join Instagram.
Because everything and everyone is on there.
Exactly.
Will Smith just made an Instagram.
Even Will Smith! Who are you to deny us?
Who are you to deny us? If you haven't seen this video yet, watch it. It is, he makes me laugh so hard. That energy is just hilarious. Emma Stone, as of this report, still has not yet joined Instagram, but we'll keep you posted. We'll follow that story closely. Oh, man, he makes me laugh. All right, it is Friday, September 14th. It's time to look at all the celebrity birthdays. If you're born on this day, you share a birthday with these famous people. One of the members of the crew of the Starship Enterprise. Walter Koenig. Walter Koenig from Star Trek is 82 years old today. He, of course, played Chekhov. Just Chekhov on that show.
Not many left.
There really aren't many original members left. You're absolutely right. He is also, a little bit of trivia, the father-in-law of Jimmy Pardo.
Is he?
He is. Jimmy's lovely wife, who I know from the Acme Comedy Theater. We spent some time together. Danielle, she is Walter's daughter.
Wow.
So,
yeah. Did not know that.
Yes. And I always say to people when they say, I want to learn how to do impressions like you do impressions. Can you teach me how to do an impression? That's the one I always go to. Chekhov from Star Trek.
Wessel.
It's very easy. Oh, yeah. Wessel's a good one. But if you want to do Chekhov from any episode of Star Trek or any movie from Star Trek, all you have to do is say out loud the following word, K-I-P-T-O-N. Kipton.
Kipton.
Kipton. As long as you say Kipton, you're doing Chekhov.
I don't do mini impressions, but I could do Sulu.
You can.
Yeah.
This will be awesome. Yeah, I'll set you up. I'll set you up.
I can only say the line that I've memorized into the all right. Impression.
I'll do Kirk okay. Asking Sulu, what should I ask him about?
So where are we?
Okay, all right. All right, here we go. I'll do James T. Kirk, William Shatner, right. Talking to Mr. Sulu right, at the helm. Sulu, where are we?
San Francisco. I was born there.
That's it?
That's all I can
that's
do.
All you got?
It's just from a voyage home. Is when they're, when
I,
they're,
I know exactly where it's from.
San Francisco.
It's the same one. As,
yeah, that's all I can do.
Where do you keep your nuclear vessels?
Nuclear vessels.
Yes. Kipton. Kipton. let's see. Sam Neill is 71 years old today. Bowser from Sha Na Na celebrates a birthday today. Remember Bowser?
Yeah.
He was the one in the black muscle shirt with the big mouth. He'd always throw his head back. Chuck Taylor's, yeah. Sha Na Na's a bizarre phenomenon to me. They played at Woodstock in 1969.
They did?
Yes. They were one of the Woodstock bands, and they were doing the same shtick then. They were doing like 50s doo-wop music, which now is kind of cool because we live in the post-nostalgia age of, you know, Happy Days happened in the 70s and Grease and American Graffiti. That was a time for it. But in 69,
that's
was
so close.
That was ballsy. It wasn't really even nostalgia then. It was just old.
Yeah.
But they were a big hit. And then they started growing in popularity in the 70s. They were in the movie Grease. And then they had their own TV show like 4 years.
When I was a kid, I loved that show.
It was crazy. But they were a pretty good band. They did a lot of good doo-wop stuff. Here's a little of Sha Na Na with John Bowser Bauman. He is the deep bass voice for Sha Na Na. Ah, the good old days.
Love Sha Na Na.
50s. White people just did whatever they wanted.
He's super white.
Time was bad for everyone else. Whitey. Oh, that's what. I like that time. I thought it was pretty great. I really enjoyed it. Mary Crosby, the actress, is 59 years old today. She's the daughter of Bing Crosby. But more importantly, she was the one who shot J.R. Ewing back on Dallas.
Yeah.
She shot J.R. She's 59. Melissa Leo, my wife from Red State. Of course, she went on to win an Oscar after that film. The Contender, I believe it was for her, and Christian Bale were in that film, and she's done a ton of stuff since then. 58 years old today. Actress Faith Ford from Faith and Hope and Murphy Brown is 54. Tyler Perry,
hallelujah,
is 49 years old. Kimberly Williams Paisley. Back when she was Kimberly Williams, she was the star of Father of the Bride. Those films, just adorable. Also, according to Jim and other shows, she's 47. Andrew Lincoln from The Walking Dead is 45. And singer Morten Harket is 59 Ooh. Years old today. Singer Morten Harket. You probably don't know him from that name, but you may know the band that he's the lead singer of. It was one of the very few Norwegian smash hit bands. What band out of Norway, for God's sakes.
Norway?
Yes. No. We had Swedish bands. We had, like, ABBA was from Sweden, but this band was from Norway. The band was called A-ha.
Oh, okay.
And they had, of course, the smash hit song, Take On Me.
Yeah.
Every time I hear that song, I can't help but think. You know how these bands sometimes will go out still on tour, sort of like the retro nostalgia acts will show up at your local Indian casino or something and
county
play for
fair.
A couple nights. Yeah, and you hear the voice sometimes of the lead singer, you're like, man, it's not quite what it was back in the day. How do they do that song
I
now?
Don't,
when he's hitting that note at 20 or whatever,
he did that on that. He did the unplugged version for it was on the Deadpool 2 soundtrack. It's very slowed down, and he's singing it, and there's a YouTube video of it. And
really?
He nails the
he's
notes
still got
at that
it.
Age. Wow. At this age. I mean, it's crazy.
That is crazy. That's it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. One of my favorite things about Friday is when we get to check in with my pal over there in the UK, bringing us all the British entertainment news. It's our UK correspondent, Mr. Steve Ashton. It's very exciting, folks. You can hear him today and see him tomorrow. We're going to have live on stage at the Improv, Mr. Steve Ashton. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good. And people will be able to see how genuinely unattractive I am in real life. It's good. But you know what, Ralph? You're the man who makes Rick James look like Kevin James.
What's going on, buddy?
Lily Allen's going on. She's revealed that she couldn't wait to get off the phone to Kanye West. I'm sure we can all sympathize with that. He called her on Christmas Day a few years back. Now, she's got some music out at the moment, so she's doing interviews all over the place. And she confessed in one interview that the phone call happened a long time ago after they worked together on fellow rapper Common's song, Drive Me Wild. She said, he wanted to speak to me on Christmas Day for like an hour and a half. And I was like, oh, I'm kind of busy, Kanye. I've got some presents to open and turkey to cook and stuff. But thanks for calling. But apparently, Lily Allen and Kanye have both recently revealed that they're huge fans of the site Pornhub. Have you read about this?
No.
So there was this TV show on the BBC just recently, and it showed the BBC on the first time on BBC TV, first female orgasm, and she had to comment on it, of course, because she's an arse, and she says, I've been watching things like that on Pornhub for years. Ugh, it makes me feel sick. But Kanye has also recently shown his support towards the adult website and made some very X-rated jumpers or sweaters for his fashion line. Now, he was made the creative director of the Pornhub Awards and revealed his new collection just last week. So it's a range of jumpers that appear on his website featuring drawings of Riley Reid, who won the award for most popular female performer. I don't know if you know or heard of any of these people, Rob, but Mia Malkova won the award for hottest female ass. Abella Danger won the award for Splash Zone top squirting performer.
Sure.
So I did a little research and looked up some of these for 6 or 7 hours yesterday, and I can confirm they do look like they should have won those awards. But I'm thinking, you know, that might be something to look at for more merch. So hear me out, Ralph. So the Garmin pants designs have been really popular, haven't they? The one with your balls going through Eddie's pee hole.
Yes.
So I'm thinking maybe a Ralph Report sweater, sort of similar line to the Kanye West ones, with just one big long ball dangling down each arm.
Okay.
It's going to be a t-shirt. It would have to be a sweater.
Yes.
So also in the news, I might need to say spoilers for this. So spoilers for Doctor Who fans, all right? For the next 30 seconds or so, I'm going to give you a bit of information. Now, fans over here in the UK apparently are reeling, Ralph. They're reeling.
Reeling?
Yeah, we're reeling here. Really reeling. Because apparently some of our favourite villains are not going to be in the new season.
Oh.
There's going to be no Daleks, no Cybermen, no Weeping Angels. So they're not going to be in the show. But it's not all rough justice, Ralph, because the Doctor's pet pooch canine is set to star in a new standalone film.
They're giving K-9 his own film.
Yeah. Excitement apparently has been mounting. I don't know who the fuck is getting excited about that. But apparently people are excitement is being mounted when the robotic hound was spotted on set alongside Jodie Whittaker, which was in February. But sadly, the model was just a fan's replica. New Doctor Who boss Chris Chibnall stated that the latest series would be a recruiting year for new characters, confirming that K-9 won't be appearing, but K-9's makers Bob Baker and Paul Tamms say that they're launching K-9 into his own Whoniverse ahead of a film. We're excited to at last tell you there is a major project to bring K-9 back as a standalone hero that he deserves to be. Now, the character already had his own show, K-9. Did you ever see that?
I never did, no.
So it was a British and Australian comedy adventure series, and it was made with a mixture of computer animation and live action. It was aimed at an audience of between 11 to 15-year-olds. Here's a clip.
What are you?
My name is K-9.
I don't know where you came from.
My mem drive seems to have been scrambled. I have no memory of myself.
Your general reference capacity is unharmed and absolutely stupendous.
That tickles!
We think it's a weapon of some kind, but not one of ours. Not yet.
Let's grab her and get our butts back through that portal.
Agreed. Rapid transport of butts, imperative.
Fucking woeful, I think you will agree.
Yes.
That's like giving fucking Tweaky his own fucking show. Do you know what I mean? Oh, my God, from Buck Rogers.
Beedy, 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 G-Buck.
Yeah, fuck, just a mistake. But, yeah, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be watching that at all. And don't forget, Ralph, we've got the Ralph Report special report coming soon with a bit of background about the Doctor Who show. That'll be out in a couple of weeks, right?
Yes, as we get closer to the premiere, we're definitely going to have you teach us all a little something about the good Doctor.
Do you know what? I was a big fan in the old days, but not so much of the latest series. So if you're interested in a bit of background about the old stuff, then that should be good for you. But I've got to go now, Ralph. I'm so excited about the gig tomorrow. I've got to sponge down my rubber sheets.
Oh, all righty then. I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow night.
Looking forward to seeing Steve tomorrow night at the Improv for the live Ralph Report show. Meanwhile, it's Friday. That means it's time to take a look at all the new movies in the theaters this weekend with a segment we call the Movie Beat.
Call them. Action.
All right. Four new movies coming out in movie theaters this weekend, including something for the kids. It's an animated movie called A Wizard's Tale. Not to be confused with The Wizard's Sleeve. That's a whole different thing. That's a giant gaping vagina.
We don't want to see that.
We don't want to see that. But A Wizard's Tale, that's a story of a grumpy wizard called Grump. I don't know how much work they put into this animated film.
Didn't try at all on that, did they?
The evil wizard Grump has cast a spell of gloom all the entire land of Groovyham. And there's a young man named Terry who has traveled there from a faraway world, which is our world. And he ends up there and he has to try to help the kingdom overcome the evil wizard before he can go back home. And the lovely Princess Dawn is there to help him. Lily Collins is the voice of Princess Dawn. Toby Kebbell is Terry. And Ian McShane is the evil wizard Grump in this thing that looks like it's strictly for young kids who really don't know any better about movies. It's called A Wizard's Tale. Here's a little taste of the trailer.
I'm Princess Dawn. And you are?
Terry. I need to get back home. Can you help me?
As soon as you save my kingdom.
Run! All I wanted was to get back home.
Let's put an end to happiness.
Maybe not.
I don't don't think I'll subject my kid to that one.
Let's put an end to happiness.
Let's put an end to that movie. Another movie coming out this weekend, White Boy Rick. Matthew McConaughey continues his descent into just sleazy, dirty roles where he doesn't have to shower for a while. He looks gross in this movie. Bruce Stern's also in it. Jennifer Jason Leigh. Richie Merritt plays White Boy Rick, the boy in question. This is a true story set in 1980s Detroit at the height of the crack epidemic and the war on drugs. And White Boy Rick is Rick Wershe Jr. He became an undercover police informant. Then he actually did become a full-blown drug dealer. Then he was abandoned by the cops and was sentenced to life in prison. True story. This guy did not go well for this.
That does not sound good.
But he was a teenage kingpin of drugs in Detroit in the 80s, so he had some fun.
He had a little bit of fun.
He had a little bit of fun before he went away forever. This is a true story. This looks cool. It looks like my kind of movie. Here's a little taste of the trailer of White Boy Rick.
You good, Rick? You want to move weight? You come to me.
My dad finds this, he'll kick my ass.
Just make sure he doesn't find it, then. Break it down to dime rocks. Get yourself a crew and offload it before long. People know you're legit.
It's Ricky! He won!
You're gonna get in too deep. They're never gonna let you out.
You talk, I'll know.
It's Ricky. He white.
He white. Is he still alive in jail?
Yeah, he's still in prison. McConaughey plays his father, who was apparently a low-rent gun runner. He used to sell guns in the hood, but never wanted to get into drugs. Advised his kid to stay out of the drug
don't
game.
Don't do drugs. Just run guns.
Just sell guns, but don't sell drugs.
Do the family business.
It seemed like the whole family was really a bunch of classy kids. So, but I love those kind of crime dramas. It's a shame this guy's still doing time. And there's a big controversy about... Well, you know, he was supposed to be working with the cops. Was he still? Did they abandon him? Was there political elements at play? So it should be an interesting story. I'm looking forward to that. Also, A Simple Favor opens up this weekend. Anna Kendrick plays a young mom who meets one of her son's friends at school, who's played by Blake Lively, a woman named Emily, who is very gorgeous and intriguing and enigmatic. She's sort of this mysterious figure, and they become friends. Mm-hmm. And then Blake Lively's character, Emily, disappears from their small town without a trace. And so Anna Kendrick's character, Stephanie, takes it upon herself to play amateur detective and try to find out what happened to this woman. Yeah. And as she starts to dig deeper into this woman's life and her marriage and her past, more and more dark things are uncovered. So I think this should be an interesting film. Also in it is Linda Cardellini. She is in the film playing the ex-girlfriend of Blake Lively's character. Here's a little piece of the trailer from A Simple Favor.
I warn you, you go poking around in her past, you're gonna find something that is terrifying. She was not a normal person like you or me. I've never seen such a beautiful girl want to be so invisible.
I think that Blake Lively's a really good actress. Yeah. She started off being just sort of eye candy. I think she was hired a lot for her beauty.
But she's got a lot more than that.
The more she works, the more I watch her, I'm like, man, she's really got some chops.
But I would have stopped as soon as someone said, you don't want to go
I'd be like, okay, fine.
Like, I'm done.
I'm going to go to the PTA meeting. I'm good.
Take my kid to practice. I'm done.
Did you ever see that movie where she plays the girl out on the rock who goes surfing, who gets bitten by the shark?
Gets her arm taken off, right?
No.
No, it's not that one?
No, it's not that one.
Oh, that was the one where the girl got her arm bitten off. Oh, the one who gets stuck.
She's stuck on that rock. Right, it's only about 100 yards from shore.
Right, and the shark's
But she's bleeding out, but that giant shark keeps circling the rock, and she can't swim in.
And the tide's coming in.
Yes, and she keeps trying to get people to help her on shore and stuff. Yeah, she's abandoned out there. Yeah. It's terrifying, and it's sort of a one-woman show for most of the movie, and she's riveting out there on that rock.
No, she's good.
But she's got both arms. I do know
she's got both arms. I got it confused for a second with the one girl
I'm just saying she's got both arms.
Oh my God.
And lastly, in theaters this weekend is The Predator, the return of one of the great movie monsters of all time. The Predator's back. Boyd Holbrook stars along with Olivia Munn, Thomas Jane, Keegan-Michael Key, Sterling K. Brown. Really good cast. Here's the kind of thing. I don't mind these sort of sequel reboots for these kind of movies because the star... never changes and never ages. You get the Predator back in a movie. It's like Godzilla, right?
Yeah.
You put Godzilla in a movie, automatically I'm interested. I want to see this again.
I've heard people that have seen it are saying it's really dumb, but really fun.
I'm sure of
like
both
of those.
Like,
it's real stupid. Like, it's not like the first two Predators were sort of like intense. This is just like real stupid fun.
Yeah. This strikes me as sort of like the Meg.
Yeah.
Right? That kind of
like
thing.
It's gotten to that point.
There's going to be a lot of shit blowing up. It's Shane Black. It's a guy who likes to blow stuff up and a lot of machismo and buddy-buddy cop kind of stuff. Yeah. And then you got Olivia Munn in there. And I'm sure it's dumb, but it looks fun to me. It's the Predator comes to Earth. And then the big bad Predator, the sort of king of all the Predators, is there hunting other Predators and also killing human beings. You got more bloodshed than you can shake a Glock at in this movie. Here's a little taste of Predator.
Predators exploit weakness, tracks its prey like a game, seems to enjoy it.
That's not a Predator, that's a sports hunter.
Well, we took a vote. Predator's cooler, right? Fuck yeah.
Yeah, Predator's cooler than Sport Hunter.
It's called The Predator, right? That's the official title.
Predator. The Predator. Anyway, it's big, dumb, fun. And I don't know. I was wrong last week when I tried to guess what the number one movie was because The Nun came out of nowhere and took the prize. But I think this week, and I think The Predator will in fact be the number one movie at the box office. We'll see. We'll have to wait and see. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat. Well, here we are in week two of the NFL season. Could not be more excited to have football back. And my buddy Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports is just as excited. I talked to Buzz this week about some of the weekend's upcoming games. I always like to get his insight when I get a chance. Here's my conversation with Jay Busby. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. Buzz, how you doing, man?
Man, you and I should have bet last. Well, actually, we shouldn't have bet last week because I'm a Falcons guy. You're an Eagles guy. Your Eagles just embarrassed the hell out of my Falcons. I'm glad we didn't bet, but we should have put something on it.
Although it was a much tighter game than a lot of people expected it to be. It went down to the wire yet again.
Yes, yes. Eagles look good, man. You should be very happy.
Well, I like the defense for sure. The offense, I think, needs to wake up a little bit. Well,
yeah.
We'll see what happens this weekend against the Buccaneers. Fitzmagic at the, behind the controls.
What happened there? Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, the guy, you know, he looks like the abominable snowman come to life, and he suddenly is, what, 34 years old? He went to Harvard, as they tell you every time that he's on TV, and he goes and throws this monstrous game for over 400 yards, puts 48 points on the board against the Saints. So, yeah, that was an out-of-nowhere win.
Now, everyone is saying the Eagles need to be scared now because of what he did last week, but Fitzpatrick is famously a very streaky player. Sometimes he follows up an impressive outing with an awful one.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think that one of the greatest jobs in the world would be to be an NFL backup quarterback, because all you've got to do is be ready. If the main guy goes down, you carry a clipboard most of the year. If the main guy goes down, you step in. If you have a great game, you've guaranteed yourself a huge contract next year. If you don't have a great game, nobody was expecting anything out of you anyway. So Fitzpatrick is, I'm not saying he's running a scam on the league, but he's certainly got a certain cycle that he runs through. Yes.
He's been with a lot of teams, hasn't he?
Yeah. Somehow he's been with, there are 32 NFL teams and somehow he's played for 37. I'm not sure how that works out.
Well, I'm hoping my Eagles will prevail. Anyway, what's the line on that game this weekend?
Eagles right now, -3. It's Eagles -3. So, and which seems, I mean, that's one of those bets that's going to lure you in, because I would think the Eagles are going to absolutely cover that and a little bit more. So I don't think there's going to be any problem with that.
Yeah, I think the Eagles, D, the way they get to the passer, they're going to disrupt Fitzmagic, I think, on Sunday. So we'll see.
Yeah, exactly.
Another interesting, talking about quarterback controversies, another interesting game this weekend is Vikings-Packers, only because Aaron Rodgers, well, first of all, threw the game of his life on one leg, basically, last week. And now he's coming in with a sore knee. Have they said whether he's going to be playing or not this weekend?
They haven't said definitively. Did you stay up for that game or did you bail out?
Oh, no. Well, I'm lucky. I'm on the West Coast, so it wasn't that late for me.
What am I thinking? Yeah, yes. It's still early evening for you. Yeah, if I had not been writing about it, I would have been like, you know, this is over and done with. The way that here's a little behind the scenes deal. We usually write our stories and then fill them in at the last minute with whatever the final score is. But in this case, and I've already written, Packers season is over, Aaron Rodgers is done, What does he do? He comes and shambles out of the hallway looking like he's on one leg. All of a sudden he got a Southern accent knocked into him somehow. And he was astounding, but we don't know. He's still listed as questionable for this weekend. That's why at the moment the Vikings are only 1 point favorites over the Packers. But I mean, I'm kind of surprised it's that close. If Rodgers goes out, if he's declared out, it's going to be a much bigger line than that. Vikings are one of the great teams, but Rodgers is just an ungodly good quarterback.
And they're saying it was what, a sprained knee? So he still could play.
Yeah. I mean, he apparently just got shot up with some kind of horse tranquilizer or something back in the locker room. They just sent him out there. So who knows what they did. But yeah, he's just so good. And so as long as he's in the game, you can't ever be comfortable.
All right. So let me say, so far, I'm going to take the Eagles to cover. I'm going to take that one. And I'm going to take the Vikings. I don't think, even if he plays, I don't think Aaron Rodgers can do that twice in 1 week.
Yeah.
Vikings are too good.
Minnesota's just so good. You're right. They've got to be the favorite coming out of the NFC at the moment.
Speaking of the NFC and the NFC East, two 0-1 teams, I could not be happier. The 0-1 Cowboys versus the 0-1 Giants this weekend. Both of these teams, it's hard to say this early in the season, but seriously, both of these teams have to be concerned for their seasons if they don't pick up a win.
Yeah, I mean, usually the second week, the NFL is all about overreaction, where we're thinking, oh my God, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's going to the Hall of Fame. It's amazing. You know, we always immediately try to overreact, but I don't think it's an overreaction to say that this is a must-win game for both of these teams. They are both kind of clinging on to some kind of past glory. Dallas has been nothing but mediocre in the last couple of years. The Giants are still holding on to Eli Manning against all odds. And so, yeah, they're playing on Sunday night. We always have NFC East games on Sunday night. It's nothing unusual. Dallas is a 3-point favorite, which sounds about right. I'm just not sure that either of these teams is anyone that should scare, for instance, the Eagles or anybody else in the playoff picture.
Well, I think, and this sounds, and it's hard to talk well about either of these teams to me personally. It's hard to say anything nice about either of these teams. But I think Manning is still capable sometimes of having those surprising big games where he just threads the needle and just throws the lights out football. And I haven't seen that from Dak yet. So I don't know. I think the Giants maybe could surprise some people this week.
I think you're right. I think that, well, they've got Saquon Barkley, who looks like everything that we were promised. His first run as a pro is what, 61 yard touchdown, his first major carry. So he's looking really, really strong. And I think that they've got Odell Beckham, who's always has the possibility to make some kind of highlight level catch. So yeah, I think that if you're looking at ceilings, I think the Giants' ceiling is higher than the Cowboys is in this game, but I think their floor is lower too.
Ah, good point. And lastly, let's take a look at a rematch of the AFC Championship game last year. You've got the New England Patriots against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I tell you, I think this is going to be a pretty interesting matchup.
This is one of my favorite games of the week because the Jaguars have everything that you want to see in a team. They got a fast defense. They've got a solid run attack, assuming that Fournette is back and healthy. They've got everything you want except for a quarterback. And Blake Bortles is the kind of quarterback where if you have him on your fantasy team, he might score you 35 points. He might score you 8. You just don't know.
Right.
But he's kind of the one thing holding the Jaguars back from being absolute world beaters. And then on the other side of the ball, you've got the Patriots who are just, I mean, it's like trying to root against a thunderstorm, man. I mean, they just keep coming in every year. At the moment, they're 1.5-point favorites on the road against Jacksonville. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. This is probably going to be one of the games of the week, if not the game of the week.
I think if anybody can give Tom Brady fits, though, and even those receivers, you know, Gronk and all those other guys, I think the Jacksonville defense can absolutely do it.
Yeah, and Brady, at some point, he has to break down. At some point, he's got to get caught. And I think that Jacksonville is so fast and comes at you from so many different angles that's exactly the kind of trouble, the team that he could have trouble with if he's slowing down, which, I mean, I don't anticipate it's going to happen until about 2035. But if it starts happening now, it could happen this week.
Well, I'm taking Jacksonville just to make myself feel better. That's my upset pick right there because I can't remember the last time the Eagles faced the Patriots. I'm trying to remember when that was. I can't remember exactly, but I believe they beat them. I'm not sure.
It seemed to go okay, yeah.
Yes. Buzz, as always, a joy to talk with you. Thanks so much. And let's try to make this a weekly occurrence. I love talking football with you.
I love it. Let's do it, my friend.
All right, Buzz. Talk to you soon. And that's it for today's show. For those of you folks coming out to the live show tomorrow night, thank you so much. Cannot wait to see you. To everyone else, I want to let everyone know that the audio version of tomorrow's show will be posted, just like a regular podcast. And for you folks who are the 3- and 4-star generals, we'll be sending you a link. You can watch the video of the show as well, so you can see all the insanity as it happens on stage. Do me a favor. If you're having fun this weekend, take care of yourself. Be careful, because we need to have you come back on Monday so we can talk about all the fun we had this weekend. I love you. I mean it.